The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See you live off the record with Chivago Line is brought to you by the Bahamas Athletics Association, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Doctors Hospital, Dunkin' Donuts, the Fincasa Media Group, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. Let me give you some lay of the land, folks, today. We have a segment with a pre-planned segment with Doctors Hospital today, continuing with some discussions on men's health. So we'll do that for a part of the time. And then we are going to, as I indicated to you yesterday, take up some discussions around the budget. But we continue to support this effort that Doctors Hospital has to try and highlight for men some of the, and others, the medical and health concerns, issues to help keep all of us in better state of health. If you want at some point to give us a call on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands. You can call us on 242-300-5720. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Kimba, Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can text us on... You can text us on, you can watch us on Flow Channel 612. Flow Channel 612. So we have as our special guest in this first segment today, Dr. Anishka Roll, who is a board certified specialist in internal medicine and rheumatology. She earned a medical degree from the University of the West Indies and completed a specialty training at Caroline Clinic in Virginia and a subspecialty training at Roger Williams Medical Center, Brown University. Welcome, Dr. Roll.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So glad to have you with us today to enlighten us on something perhaps not many of us are all that familiar with. So I am going to ask you this question and never feel shy to say I'm not entirely sure what it is myself, so I want to know, what is a rheumatologist?
Sure, I get that question a lot. As a rheumatologist, I have to be trained in internal medicine first, which is a generalized subspecialty, and rheumatology itself specifically deals with any disorder that affects the muscles, the bones, and the joints. So I see all types of arthritis as well as autoimmune diseases that affect the connective tissues.
Okay. And I can't imagine any one of us who don't from time to time have some issue with any one of those things that rheumatology is concerned with. Let me get muscle, bone, what's the other one again?
And joint. So all joint diseases. Yes.
Doc, I need to come see you because I have these two, at least two or three of them is on my list.
Okay. So I'll look out for your appointment.
So what are the common conditions a rheumatologist treats then?
Sure. So what everyone is familiar with is mechanical arthritis, for example, osteoarthritis, particularly of your large joints like the knees and the hips, because we have a lot of patients that need replacements, for example.
Are you talking business right now, Doc? You talking my business?
But I also treat the very more complex and rare diseases like inflammatory arthritis, and that includes things like rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, gout, for example, pseudogout, and the list goes on. But I don't want to leave out the connective tissue diseases because we have a very high population of persons, particularly women of childbearing age, that I see, for example, for lupus or things like scleroderma or Sjogren's disease.
Now, Doc, a couple of questions arising from what you just said. We mention arthritis a lot, but what is arthritis?
That's a good question.
Because every time somebody got an ache in the joint, they say, I have arthritis. What is arthritis?
So arthritis is a disease. But it's a disease that can be, there's many different ways that you can develop arthritis. The arthritis that most persons are familiar with is the mechanical arthritis. What I mean by that is degenerative joint disease in which, for example, the joints lose their ability to function or because of a couple things. One, the joint space is lost because there's cartilage that's being worn away. Two, when there's extra bone formation in the joint, making the joint stiff and enlarged. And then there are other things, for example, we call it synovial enlargement around the joint because of either inflammation or because of constant damage to the joint. So, for example, the more common thing we see is arthritis in the hands, arthritis in the knees, arthritis in the main joints, or even in the spine, of course, particularly at the neck and the low back. We call that the lumbar spine. But I want to mention that the other forms of arthritis are very debilitating. They can be very rapidly progressive, and they can lead to disability. And that includes the inflammatory arthritis. And those types of arthritis are usually affiliated with systemic symptoms. And by that, I mean, you can have fever, weight loss, rashes, things like ulcers, and the list goes on. So though that type of arthritis, in the latter that I've just described, is very, very serious.
So in effect, arthritis isn't like just one thing. It seems like a more general description for a set of things that happen to people around their joints and other things. Is that true?
Like
I'm saying, arthritis isn't like just, it's a description for the deterioration of the joints, not.
Right, exactly. Yes. And you said it correctly. It's an umbrella term that encompasses a lot of things. Because, for example, you can have arthritis in your hands, but that arthritis is not what the disease is essentially. It's either osteo or degenerative arthritis that most people will have, and they'll have enlarged knobs, for example, at the distal part of the joints. Or you could have inflammatory arthritis, like, for example, let's say one that's very common, gout, where it's intermittent and you have intermittent flares, like flares that are fleeting. They start for a time, they go, or you can have chronic arthritis. And that's arthritis that we see in things like, for example, rheumatoid arthritis or in lupus or in other inflammatory and autoimmune diseases.
It's interesting that you mentioned gout because a gentleman was in the store I was in this morning, and he was walking, he was limping. And so a friend of his said, well, what's wrong with you? He said, Mama, I see something I ate. And I said to him, I said, you have gout. He said, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and gout is one of the most common inflammatory arthritis, and gout can be, for some people, very mild. They only have it at groups if they do something. For example, it's very highly influenced by meat, the type of food we eat. For example, persons that drink a lot of alcohol, or if you eat a lot of red meat or shell seafood, for example, that those things can actually make gout worse or stimulate a gout flare. However, many persons are at risk for gout for other reasons. For example, persons with comorbidities like hypertension and they're on certain medications like diuretics, persons who have kidney disease who cannot excrete the uric acid, and persons who just might have a family history. We know that there's a strong family history, particularly in males. And we know that after women are post-childbearing, like, for example, post-menopausal women, these are persons that are at higher risk for a gout flare.
You know, I don't know a single, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying all gout instances I've seen, men had them.
Exactly. It's much more common in men. And that's because men do not have the protective effect of estrogen. And so, for example, if they have family history of men drink, for example, if they're drinking alcohol on a regular basis, or you have those other comorbidities that I just mentioned, then that is why we see it much more frequently in men as opposed to women.
We men who work out, or maybe just, you know, exercise some, or whatever work we do, we tend to have aches and pains in the muscles and joints with some regularity and treat them as just part of the routine of life. When should we or anyone look to see a rheumatologist?
That's a fantastic question. For example, you just mentioned aches and pains. Yes, that's regular. You can't always have tendonitis, bursitis. Those things happen. But if you have chronic pain that's debilitating, that affects your function or your limitation, you have limitation in range of motion of the joint, pain that is associated, for example, with swelling in the joint. Those are the times, those are very triggering, symptoms that should make you say, huh, this needs to be evaluated further. And
Joshua,
I should go.
Your battery
and see.
Need to charge?
Leslie.
Oh.
Mic that off, please. I'm sorry, Doc. Sorry.
No problem. Yeah, right. So those are the reasons that you would go and see a rheumatologist. And in particular, there are persons, I get a lot of referrals for persons that might go to their regular, their general practitioner, their internal medicine doctor, their primary care physician, who they might do a test. And some of these are just screening tests for certain, remember I mentioned, autoimmune arthritis. So they might do have a positive rheumatoid factor, or their uric acid might be extremely high, or they have a positive anti-nuclear antibody test, which is a screening test for connective tissue diseases. And though I get those patients as well so that they can have further evaluation to determine what the disease is specifically.
Brother Tim Ingram is the president of the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce, and I'm going to be speaking to him a little later. He's also a mayor, so I don't know. Brother Ingram, while you are here with me, and if there's anything you may wish to ask, talk, but you and I will have our conversation in a little while. But, you know, we are men, so we have an interest in these matters.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, sir?
Good, thanks, and you? I don't know if you asked, because you and I are the same age, roughly the same age, and so we're probably experiencing some of the same aches and pains, especially from that rheumatologist perspective. But I'm thinking I probably need to go and see the doctor for a consultation on these things. But I guess, Doc, as men, we tend to tough it out when we feel aches and pains rather than and getting them checked. And we tend to ignore things we should really to look into. And so it's good to hear you speak into men specifically, because a lot of times we had a conversation and we figured they're not talking to us. But just to add to your voice that, you know, we need to take care of ourselves. I myself am a 8-year cancer survivor from prostate cancer. It was only through consistent checkups and my making sure I go for my annual checkup that I was able to discover it at an early stage. and was able to deal with it. And so, you know, you're encouraging men, and you and Mr. Lang here is certainly to be commended. Too many of our men die too young from problems which are preventable. And as we get older, it's even more important for us to look into these things to make sure that the things are functioning properly. You know, we take our cars in for service. We service a lot of other things in our life that need servicing, but we tend to ignore our bodies. And so
that is so true. That is so true. You and I share a similar story on the prostate end. But doctor, to the point that Mr. Ingram made, do you find that there is a cultural reality to the fact that most of us as men think, man, as mad as a lake, you can't no little girl, man. Stop that, right. Toughen that out.
Right.
What's wrong with you?
Mr. Lang and yes, Mr. Ingram, I agree. You make very valid point. Many persons will delay getting treatment or being seen because of fear of finding out what is wrong. And that's also a cultural thing, I think. But for men in particular, I do tend to see some men pack really late in the disease when they have really significant disability, meaning like they can't go to work anymore. So then they will come in and be seen. But I do advise that patients come in to be seen earlier so that we can prevent disability. Because once you already have, for example, patients who have advanced degenerative arthritis in the knee, we cannot recover your joint. And so in those instances, those persons need to have a new joint, and that means surgery. So
but you don't have to bring my business out on the radio, though. You don't have to do that. You don't have to talk my left knee business, doc. That's not right.
No, I'm just lying.
Bionic man, Mr. Lang. Bionic man.
Yeah, but listen, and you know, doc, what is so true? I didn't realize this, right? I wore out all the cartilage in my left knee. I was an avid basketball player, avid,
right,
jumping up and down. But the doctor said to me, he said, you played a lot of basketball, but you played a lot of basketball on concrete and asphalt.
Right.
And we don't realize, because this is our playgrounds at home, what we're doing, right?
Exactly. And you only have, your joints are here for only a certain, they're supposed to support you for all of your life. So you're right. Persons who are athletes, persons who do excessive amount of exercise, put a lot of trauma on their joints, particularly the weight-bearing joints. You know, that would be, of course, your knees, your hips. Those joints are the ones that tend to have issues early, significant trauma, lots of activity when you were younger. And so unfortunately for those persons like yourself, I've seen many men and females who might not be overweight, might not have had any major issues otherwise, any surgical issues that could precipitate arthritis, but because of their past history of being involved in either basketball, football, etc., that they have to have treatment.
Or you can be a construction worker or some mechanic or someone who does a lot of moving and
exactly
weightlifting and weight bearing and that can wear on your joints. But again, the mentality I know amongst most of my male associates is, listen, buddy, that's just like it can be and so forth. And until the quality of life changes,
right,
we don't understand.
Right. Exactly.
Quick question. Yes. How would you or do you recommend weightlifting for men as we get older? And obviously we lose muscle mass.
Right.
Each year we get older. What are your thoughts on weightlifting to help prevent some of these chronic diseases that we see?
Sure. Weightlifting is definitely good for both men and female in terms of bringing muscle mass, but also it helps to build bone. And as Jeff informed you, persons, as you get older, everybody loses bone mass, unfortunately, which means you're at higher risk for things like osteopenia and osteoporosis and high risk for fractures. So weightlifting actually helps that. It not only builds muscle mass, it actually reinforces and helps to rebuild bone mass. So that's definitely an important part of your exercise regimen that you should do as a male and a female, in particular from women who are postmenopausal. In terms of what do you do, because I know many men, they might lift really heavy weights. that depends on, of course, what your, you know, your activity level is, and of course, what your past experiences have been. For example, if you're just starting the gym, I wouldn't go and lift 150 pounds. Not a good idea. You start off with minor weights, meaning start up with 20, and then you work your way up until you can tolerate higher weights. But honestly, moderate weightlifting, you know, sticking between, say, 15 to 40 pounds is ideal for your growing bone mass and helping with retaining strength. And when I see patients, for example, those persons who have, let's say, back pain or knee pain, I tell them part of the regimen is not, is you try to limit or do low impact exercises, meaning walking, running on a treadmill is not the ideal option for exercise. Your best options are low impact, meaning, for example, water, because there's no weight in terms of if you exercise in water. So swimming is ideal. Doing your little aerobics in water works. Weightlifting is good. Doing work on the elliptical, for example, or a stationary bike, all those things are good in order to preserve joint function. And for persons with issues in their back, strengthening the core, which means your abdominal muscles, and that might include weightlifting and doing other certain things to help strengthen those muscles, that's really important to take stress off the spine.
We have a text here that says, is psoriasis a form of arthritis?
Good question. Psoriasis, no, is a form of skin disease. So it's typically, we see it in a lot of persons, but psoriasis typically affects, for example, the scalp. You can also have periauricular, meaning behind the ears, lesions. Lesions can be involved on the trunk, but particularly for the extremities is at the extensor surfaces, which is the back of the elbows and on the front of the knees. What the person might be referring to is psoriatic arthritis, which is one of those types of arthritis I had mentioned previously. This is an autoimmune-driven arthritis. So what happens in those persons who are predisposed to things like psoriasis, for example, and I say this because the arthritis can predate the skin manifestation. So sometimes it's kind of difficult unless you have that strong family history to associate it with. So the psoriatic is inflammatory, and it's the type of arthritis that predominantly affects the small hand joints, particularly the PIP joints, and also the spine, particularly the lower back and the SI joints. So those type of patients, we treat them somewhat differently because now we're not only treating to improve your pain and functionality, we're treating to prevent severe disability. And that includes using immunosuppressant drugs, for example, like methotrexate, and biologic drugs, which are infusion or injectable medications to prevent further, disability in most patients.
I think this person is moving right along your track because they said for some reason when I hear someone talk about psoriasis, they branch off to arthritis.
Right. Yeah.
We have another text here. Doc says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I heard the doctor on the Qi or how can you touch with her. Nice to see more rheumatologists in the country.
Sure. I am available at Doctors Hospital at the Centerville Medical Center, also at Luden Clinic. In terms of a number, we have my email is anishkarol@doctorshospital.com. And in terms of booking, give me one.
You can call the center, right? The center's listed.
Right. Exactly. You can call the Centerville Medical Center.
This text says, about 2 years ago, I had an itch on my feet. I kept on scratching and I kept saying it's just a mosquito bite. So I keep getting itching cream, etc. But finally asked a doctor about it who tells me it was psoriasis and gave me antibiotics and stuff to take for it. It's gotten better. I say this to say, no matter how small we think something is, ask a doctor.
Right, exactly. Because many persons might ignore certain things like a rash or a mold, but particularly if you see changes, and many of us, you don't take a full inventory of our skin every day. So I understand that. But if you see, for example, a mark that's getting worse, it's getting bigger, you have associated itching, swelling, maybe even redness associated with it, or you see that it's starting to spread, then maybe that's a time that you should definitely try to seek interventions beyond what you can do over the counter or at home. And again, like I said, that is the cutaneous skin manifestation of part of the disease. What I treat, which of course ultimately will affect the skin, is the joint manifestations of psoriasis. And so we call that psoriatic arthritis.
Stex says, I have pain on the soles of my feet from running a lot. I saw something called acupuncture slippers. Do you recommend something like this?
I am not familiar with acupuncture slippers because that alternative medicine, so I'm not sure, but I do suggest that if you do run a lot and you have pain, it depends on where the pain is, of course. If you have it in the forefoot, underneath the toes, we call it metatarsalgia, and that would mean that you're putting too much pressure on that part of the foot. Now, that can happen for many reasons, particularly persons who have flat feet, right? We call that pes planus. And so for those persons, the best option for treatment, because this is something routinely, would mean to change up your, you know, what you do. And that means, for example, either investing in orthotics, which are inserts that we put in our shoes to help cushion and support the metatarsal heads and also the heel, or getting custom-made shoes. I know, obviously, that's more costly. So maybe starting with orthotics would be the most practical thing to do.
This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Nang. Very interesting show as usual. What is the doctor's name or office and phone contact, please? I need to make an appointment with her urgently. Wow.
Okay. So my name is Dr. Anish Garol again, and my office will be at center, and that's Doctors Hospital. It's right on the corner opposite the new RBC that's being built. And I guess it's on the corner of Collins Avenue and is it Fred's seat? I can't remember the exact street's name. But anyhow, the doctor's hospital, you can either do online, can do an online appointment through doctorshosp.com, or you can call the center at 302-3320 or 302-3321.
This text says, is plasma injection an option for knee cartilage to grow?
Good question. Yes, we call that PRP, platelet-rich plasma. I can do those, but I do that at a different office, and that's at Family Medical Center. But the PRP injections, what we do is we pull your blood, we spin it, and we take out the highest concentration of platelets, and we actually re-inject that back directly into the joint. And so I usually do this under guidance. This is only indicated for persons who have moderate to advanced. And this is for mechanical arthritis, by the way, not autoimmune arthritis.
You said moderate to advanced, not for the super advanced.
Right. Not for persons who are, for example, on the list to get their, you know, a joint replacement, but for persons who have at least mild to moderate. And when I say mild, I'm talking about mild, moderate. Let me just kick moderate, not to confuse anybody. Sorry. So moderate, at least moderate disease. Mild disease, we wouldn't go because it's more costly. And of course, like I said, it requires us to take out your blood, et cetera, and put it back in. So there are other options like viscosupplementation, and the colloquial term is gel injections. We also put gels in the knee. There are many options for gels. We can do series of three gels, which we do on a weekly basis, and that we can do that up to five times. Large one-time gel injection. And there are many options for that. Hyaluronan, Disc, Euflexa, the list goes on. But we do that for, and that includes the knees, the hips, less so the hips though, but mainly the shoulders and the knees.
But Ingram, she wasn't talking about me. The last doctor looked at my knee and said, I ain't never seen nothing like that ever in their practice.
Really? I'm telling you.
The doctor told me I need to get it replaced, but he said he wanted me to wait as long as I could wait because, you know,
right.
Replacements have shelf life, and I'm a young man. So,
right, and that's true. They try to defer if you're younger because, of course, most prostheses, they only last for about 15 to 20 years. Yes. Now, again, I'm not saying it won't last, but most have the, based on what the studies show, last for 15 to 20 years. So, for example, if you're 30 and had to get a knee replacement, you did it, then maybe by 50, you would have to have a new knee.
Right. And he said that the second one is more complicated than the first. That's what he told me.
Of course it is. Yes.
Having said that, the joint replacement, I had went through a hip replacement probably about 10, 15 years ago at least. And okay. The process for recovery was several weeks and then physio and all of that. And then I had another one who went through it just a year or so ago. And his recovery time was totally different. He was up and walking, I think, within about 24 hours of the surgery. So it seems to have been some really great advancement in that area as well.
Exactly. There has been a lot of advancement. And I can say that personally from, my time abroad and in working at Doctors Hospital. Once you've had your surgery, you are up and walking in 24 hours. And it is a must because the main thing is to avoid one of the major complications, which is vascular thrombosis post-surgery. And that includes clots in the legs, for example, walking within 24 hours is a must in most programs. And they actually definitely do that at Doctors Hospital. They have the therapists that come in so that you can get your, post-hospital follow-up and stuff regulated and get back to normal functioning as quickly as possible.
Doc, we got like 1 minute there. We have a text here says, Mr. Lang, can you ask Doc to explain what is, I'm going to spell the word Doc, S-J-O. G-R-E-N apostrophe S.
Okay. I got it. So that's Sjogren's. Sjogren's is one of those other connective tissue diseases that I treat. It's an autoimmune disease in which antibodies actually destroy the glands. So for example, the parotid gland, the submandibular glands, the lacrimal glands in the eyes. And so this leads to either recurrent swelling, fevers, weight loss. The disease also has an inflammatory arthritis associated with it. But what Sjogren's is most commonly associated with is severe dry eyes and dry mouth. And why that's important is because if we don't have moisture in our mouth, we lose, for example, all our teeth. So many persons who have undiagnosed Sjogren's become edentulous. And I'm not talking when they're like 80. I'm talking people in their 30s, 20s. If they're not treated correctly, persons with excessive dry eye can have corneal abrasions and severe eye pain. And then more importantly, apart from the joint issue, Sjogren's puts persons significantly at higher risk for malignancy, unfortunately, and that includes lymphoma. And so these persons, we monitor them very closely and make sure that they, that we look at their hematologic profile, that they're not at risk for cancer.
Doc, once again, how can people reach you if they need to? And we already see a number of people need to reach you.
So much. Thank you so much for having me. I am at Doctors Hospital at the Centerville Medical Center. I do infusions at Luton Clinic, which is also on Dowswell Street. The way to either get an appointment is to give us a call at 302-3320 or 302-332. And you can also go online and go to doctorshosp.com. My email is anishkarol@doctorshosp.com.
Doc, we're going to invite you back for the whole show. So stay tuned. I'm reaching out.
All right. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you very much. That's Dr. Anishka Roll, Doctors Hospital Internal Medicine Rheumatologist. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, we already heard from him, but we're going to be speaking with the president of the Grand Bahama Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Tim Ingram, and we're going to be talking about budget and what they, as private sector, saw and some other things we'll talk about. We'll be back right after this break. Your health is your wealth. Prioritize this men's health month at Doctors Hospital with comprehensive primary care and specialist screenings. Book your appointment now.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Attention all Dunkin' lovers.
Are you ready to fly away this summer? Dunkin' has an irresistible offer just for you. During the month of June, every purchase of a dozen donuts at Dunkin' enters you for a chance to win big in the Father's Day flyaway. Two lucky winners will jet off on Bahamas Air with round-trip tickets to any Bahamas Air destination. Dads flying on Bahamas Air on Father's Day receive a special Dunkin' treat. Visit Dunkin' today and enter to win and fly away. The Bahamas flies on Dunkin'.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Cavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody would happen.
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So out of the way.
All you gotta say, I'm through the crack crime Bahamas are, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen. Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe! Mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down, it is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking it all on. Upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power. Major energy reform. That's how we get to lower prices and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be.
newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
Doctors Hospital Specialist Clinic is where trusted and best care meets consistency and dedication. Let our expert specialists take you on a healthcare journey where warmth, compassion, and your well-being come first. From diagnosis to prescription, we are with you every step of the way, ensuring your peace of mind. Visit us today at Centerville Medical Center, Collins Avenue and 6th Terrace, and discover quality, compassionate healthcare at Doctors Hospital Specialist Clinic.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. This is a Policy Wednesday with the Government and Public Policy Institute. So Mrs. Leslie Archer is with me today. How are you, Mrs. Archer?
Doing absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Excellent. And of course, we have a special guest with us today as we look again at the country's budget just passed in the House of Assembly, and I think now will be taken up in the Senate. Mrs. Archer, you want to give a better introduction of Mr. Ingram than I did?
Certainly. Well, Tim Ingram has nearly 40 years of experience in the insurance industry in the Bahamas and the UK. He's a fellow of the Chartered Insurance Institute, a chartered insurer, and the managing director of a local insurance company. He currently serves as chairman of the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce and Employers Confederation and has been a board member for 6 years. He's also held leadership roles in several charitable organizations. Educated at top institutions, including the University of the Bahamas, or known back then as the College of the Bahamas, and the Wharton School, Tim is a passionate Rotarian, a major donor, and a Paul Harris Fellow. Born in Taproom Bay, Eleuthera, he now resides in Nassau with his wife, Yvette, and their 3 children. He enjoys learning, travel, fine wine, woodworking, and community service.
Tim, when last you've been to Taproom Bay?
Last weekend.
Oh, yes, you mean yes. Jealous, so man.
It's very recent. No, I get home as often as I can. It's not as often as I'd like, but as often as I can.
I'm told now Tappan, if I'm not mistaken, is what, Central or South Eleuthera?
Because it's kind of south. It's just
south, right?
Yeah.
I'm told that things have picked up in Eleuthera, so.
You have Disney, which has completed their construction. That has really driven a lot of economic upturn now that it's open. There are jobs available for locals. Disney, before they completed the project, had also gone in and done some grant funding through the Eleuthera Chamber of Commerce and the Small Business Development Center. To assist business persons or prospective business persons on the island to be prepared to do business with Disney. So it's not just a matter of providing jobs for persons on the island, but it was also helping to facilitate business opportunities for persons to do business with Disney. And that, as a Chamber of Commerce, we feel is critical because it's one thing to bring jobs into a community, but you can really change the fortunes of the community if you do business with them, if you assist them with doing business with you, You can actually, you know, do a lot more to raise the community up through that. So we're happy to see that the Jack's Bay property, I think, is progressing well. There is talks of the old Cotton Bay, the redevelopment of that on the drawing boards. In central Eleuthera, we've seen two hotel properties open recently, some high-end hotel properties. American Airlines has just started airline service into Governor Sabe Airport throughout the week. I think they've even upgraded the aircraft they've been using because of demand. And of course, you know, that on the north end, Harbor Island has become, there was apparently a New Yorker, someone from New York sitting on a site on an aircraft, and who referred to Harbor Island as the Hamptons of the South. Because a lot of persons who own houses in Hamptons come down to Harbor Island for the winter. And so, yeah, from one end to the next, it's doing quite well.
I really didn't intend for you to go bragging on your island. Like, I thought you'd give us a little, you know, something, not a pibbling grandmama jelly.
Well, you know, Eleuthera, if you go back to the 70s, Eleuthera was, I mean, I would say one of the, if not the leading, certainly rival Grand Bahama and New Providence with the way it had developed back then. We had daily jet flight service from New York and Miami. We had we were almost self-sustainable in farming with canneries and you know, chicken and egg production. And things were really booming. We had lots of hotels open, full employment. So we're hoping to get back to those glory days of the 70s.
We're gonna take a break for news soon, but I want to ask you this first question in relation to the budget. Does the private sector look with and like eagerly to see what's in the budget?
Nervously, I would say.
Really?
I think it's more nervously. The last few budgets, there have been things in there which has caused a lot of anxiety in the private sector. And so there are usually positive things. But usually there's angst within the business community as to, well, what new hurdle are we going to have to jump now? What new hoop are we going to have to go through to continue to do business in the country? And so that's been the sentiment the last few budget cycles, where there was deep concern about what the budget will bring.
Especially given in within the last 5-10 years or so, we have seen governments introducing new taxes or raising taxes, right?
Correct, and that's really been the issue with it. And sometimes, you know, we feel some discussion would be if they had some discussion on these things. It could have gone a lot smoother. You could remove some of the anxiety from persons. We go back to VAT. Prior to the actual full introduction of VAT, there was lots of discussion around it. And there was true debate back and forth between the public sector and the private sector. And so the private sector were able to gain some level of comfort with that, so that by the time the bill was presented in Parliament, there might have still been a bit of anxiety, but not as much as if it had just been sprung on us. We had a situation, I work in insurance, we had a situation in insurance a couple of years ago. The tax structure for the way we pay taxes was changed. Well, that change meant that international companies doing business in this country were actually going to be paying less tax than local companies. So the tax bill for local companies would have increased, and the tax bill for companies such as Lloyd's of London and others would have decreased. So, you know, we pointed out that a few minutes of conversation with us would have highlighted that and would have, removed a lot of disagreement between us and the authority.
We're going to take that break for news, and then when we come back, I want to ask you to turn your attention to the general economic environment you see for this upcoming budget. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news brief.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kingdaw National Parkinson Foundation presents its 24th Charity Gala, Saturday, June 29, 2024, at the Grand Ballroom Grand Hyatt Bahama Convention Center. And here to set the mood right and the night tight is none other than international artist Johnny Gill. You got to sing it, also the Defense Force Band and the Rhythm Band. You can purchase your tickets at Carey's Fabric on Mackey Street or Signature Starts Marathon Road. Cocktails at 6:45 p.m. and dinner at 7:45 p.m. And then you can have your fill of Johnny Gill.
One thing is true. God has blessed me.
Let's get the mood right. Turn on.
What can make you happy and angry at the same time? The Angry Whopper and new Angry Chicken Sandwich at Burger King Nassau. It's time to get angry and take on the flavor sensation of BK's signature flame grilled beef, spicy jalapenos, bacon, classic onion rings, cheese, fresh veggies, and all the fixings you love. Or try the new Angry Chicken with the same delicious spicy ingredients on a crispy chicken breast patty. Take your taste buds to the next level with the Angry Whopper and Angry Chicken today, only at Burger King Nassau.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today as we speak with on this Policy Wednesday with Mr. Tim Ingram, the president of the Bahamas. Somebody said, I said earlier, Grand Bahama, but the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce. I'm also joined by Mrs. Leslie Archer of the Government and Public Policy Institute. She's a policy fellow there. Mr. Ingram, before the government gets into the details of the budget, it often talks about the international economic environment, the national economic environment. How does your the economy of the Bahamas, how do you describe it?
Well, the economy at the moment seems to be doing quite well, seems to be quite healthy. We have the tourism product is obviously booming. We've gone over 9 million tourists this year, and that looks likely to grow for the coming year. We have Royal Caribbean bringing on a new ship, which will be exclusively for the Bahamas from Cape Canaveral starting in August, I think. And they've projected over 900,000 tourists annually from that new ship. And so that's just them alone. So from that perspective, things seem to be kind of buoyant. And as you mentioned, Grand Bahama, you have Carnival spending $500 million to develop their cruise port there. You have the Six Senses Resort also looking to get started. And so there seems to be quite a bit going on. There seems to be some robust growth going on. We can't seem to crack the more than just over 2% growth opportunities for us to do that. So obviously, globally, this year, there's a lot of uncertainty. We have the UK elections coming up on July 4th and likely to see a change of government there. What impact will that have on global efforts? For instance, we've been looking at carbon credits. We know that the Conservative government in the UK had already pulled back their commitment from this. which would have made it a little more difficult for us to achieve our goals. We have a U.S. election coming up later in the year. What's the outcome there? What's going to be the change in philosophy economically in the U.S.? How does that impact our economy? Are people going to be encouraged by it? I think there were studies that have shown that during election years, people don't necessarily travel as much. Although it seems post-COVID, the old rules have been turned on their heads. And so some people might travel just to get away from all of the controversy and everything else going on in the U.S. So but things look bright if everything goes the right way. I'm in insurance, so I have skin or something like that. It could have really serious impacts, but hope and pray for many reasons that we are able to avoid any significant storms this year.
Right. Now, you mentioned a number of things that are likely to happen and things that are, you know, some of the things that are coming on stream, et cetera. Are your members, from what you could tell, reporting a translation of these things into better, more profitable business for them?
Some members. It depends on the sectors you're in. There, obviously, some sectors will do better than others. But if you're in the tourism sector, then things are probably looking a little more robust than some of the other sectors. But yeah, I think generally speaking, most members would be reporting positively as far as the uptick in business they're seeing. The thing they do get concerned about is taxation and the level of taxation, number one, but also just trying to navigate our tax.
Well, if you make it more money, why the tax man should come?
well, if I'm making more money, the tax man would automatically get more money. So tax system obviously is based on, at the moment, you're based on gross sales. So if my gross sales are up, then the 1.6% or whatever it is, is a bigger number. It's going to be a bigger
except he believes, as I know from the time I was there, he believes that his yield is still far lower than most in the region, and so he thinks he needs more yield. So if he keeps the rate the same, even if the base go up, that don't mean he's going to yield what he wants to yield.
Well, we look at the, as you said, the base is going up, the rate stays the same, so you're yielding more money.
But you can get more money.
You have to look at the other side of the balance sheet as well.
For him too. Yeah. Him too. See, you look at the other side and say, base going up for me, I've got to pay more for this, I got to pay more for that.
Fair enough. But things are also going up for businesses. So, we have used, even though there were no direct taxes, for instance, in this new budget, there were some one or two user fees, which have increased. We know that some businesses are having to pay for full audits. That's increased their costs. We have an NIB increase coming the next month, next week, actually. And then they're more scheduled to follow those. Energy costs are up. They were up very high last summer. They seem to be trending up again, even though we see BPL, so they have a strategy for that. So yes, income may be up, but expenses, the cost of doing business, minimum wage was increased last year for any business that might be doing, that might have employees at that level. The income may be up a bit, but as I said, on the other side of the ledger, the expenses are up quite a bit as well.
And I think that's very important for you to say, because, when we talk about better economy, the economy seems to be doing well, et cetera, these business people making more money. And as you said, there isn't just the sales side of the ledger. There is the expense side also. And you have to take all of that into account when you start to think about, okay, yeah, the general economy might be better, but that doesn't mean that I am as better off as the economy appears to be.
Correct. Yes. And so you speak with a lot of businesses, the economy is better. Income may be better, but expenses have risen, and the cost of doing business has risen. The cost of importing products has risen. The cost of shipping has still not settled down to levels where it was pre-COVID and pre-Dorian. So the costs are still there. The you know, people want their cost of living increases in their salaries and everything else. And so even though the income has gone up, the expenses haven't stayed the same. The expenses have actually gone up as well. Like in my industry, the insurance industry, the expenses have far outpaced the income. And so our expenses much quicker than our income has risen. And so you have to look at the full picture. You have to look at everything. Income collection is up, but expenses are up. Now, as far as going forward, you know, the government collects a tax from each cruise visitor that comes to this country, for instance. And so if you get in a million more cruise visitors, you're going to get a lot more revenue from that. Correct. If you get more heads in beds, as the hotel people say, then you have more government tax revenue because of room taxes. And so even the spending in the economy, will by tourists will mean more revenue into the government's purses. I saw recently that they have removed the VAT-free exemption from the cruise lines' private islands. And so, that's going to drive revenue as well. And when are they going to do the corporate income tax for international companies? I assume that's very close on the horizon, and will be even more tax revenue. So the tide looks like it's growing and will continue to grow. But there are a couple of things with that. First of all, you have to look at the other side of it as well and say, well, we can't keep outpacing our tax revenue. At some point, we have to look at it and see how do we make a balance. Extracting money from the private sector to take into the government sector is usually not the most efficient way to grow your economy. Usually, leaving the money in the hands of the private sectors is the best way for you to grow your economy. And so you want to have a balance with the taxes. Businesses don't mind paying the taxes. They sometimes, in a lot of cases, will tell you, am I getting value for the money that I'm paying in taxes? Are my roads any better? Is my hospital or healthcare any better? When I go to different departments of government, am I seeing improvement for my tax revenue? In a recent study, a few of our businesses, more than one, said, I keep getting more tax revenue, but nothing improves. And the recent budget, there was an increase in certain customs user fees. Well, I'm paying this increase in customs user fees. Am I going to see an improvement in the service? And so there's a lot of things that has to be tied in together to make it all work optimally, to make sure that everyone is benefiting to the best they can.
One of the concerns that has been expressed, not merely by the general public, but by people who analyze this economy, is the extent to which wages seem to have been limited, if not stagnant, in their growth, which means that employers haven't been able to share, if there were gains, more of those gains with their employees. And could not a part of that be the extent to which you're having to pay these additional expenses in logistical costs or government costs and these kinds of things?
I don't know. I mean, you need to really see the numbers as to what's really happening. We get a lot of anecdotal evidence on these things, but we can't always.
Well, I think it's fairly. You can certainly look at the labor. The household labor numbers, and you will see from period to period not a great deal of movement in the numbers. So there's certainly a macroeconomic picture that suggests that the gains have not been significant for wages over going on now 20 plus years.
So that's a long-term thing that we need to look at. Why isn't it happening? I don't think it's unique to this country.
It isn't. That's why I mentioned it. It's not. Yeah. It's the U.S. has a similar something because, in periods prior, they say, wages used to be up. And either the gains were shared in wages or in training, in the personal development or the professional development of staff. But you're right, not just the Bahamas, but in other countries, the same have been stagnant for a while.
Yeah, and so we need to look at our own situation and see, well, why is this? Why are wages lagging? Can business in wages? Is there a certain volatility built in that businesses are afraid to increase their wage roll to a certain level? Because, yes, it looks okay this year, but next year it might not look as rosy. And so I don't know that companies here are necessarily making the money that we see companies in, for instance, in the U.S. making. You go to somewhere like Canada, which is having exactly the same kind of issues as well. The companies aren't necessarily, it's not about companies making more money. It's about increased costs over those 20 years where your cost of business has increased. I mean, you take some of the businesses here. Again, I can speak for a company I work for, and our cost of business over the last 10, 15, 20 years has increased. Regulatory compliance has been a line item for many businesses which didn't exist 20 years ago, but which now will cost them quite a bit of money for persons to resolve. So we need to take a deep dive into it to find out, you know, what were the revenues of companies 20 years ago and what percentage of salaries were paid out of that revenue, and then what are the revenues today and what are the percentage of salaries paid out of that compared to the expenses which also came out of that. So we need that study, and maybe that's something your institute can take a deep dive into and provide some illumination on for us.
We're happy to come and have a discussion with yourselves about it.
For what?
Absolutely. Mr. Ingram, let me ask you, you listen to the budget, I assume. I mean, you're the Chamber of Commerce president. I can't imagine you wouldn't be paying attention. Well, any big takeaways on either side, the revenue side, the expenditure side, deficit, any big takeaways? What were the most potent impressions made on you arising from the post 2024-2025 budget?
So one of the things that I think the business community is happy to see is the deficit shrinking. Before I say this, I should, there's one caveat. That's right. So every year we present a budget, and there's a lot done, not just in our country, the UK and the countries, there's a lot done with presentation of the budget. But as someone who runs a business, presentation of the budget is really, I don't want to say minimized in business, but it's not to be all and end all. It's really presentation of your financial statements at the end of the year that really says how you're doing. To lose weight each of the last 10 years and not hit budget yet. So I want to say that we need to, I think, pay more attention, not just to the budget, we also need to pay more attention to what actually happened. So let's see if we can get into that mode at some point. Once the government finishes its year, so presented, let's look at, well, how do we do against budget? Having said that, there were some positives, obviously. The deficit reduction is to be commended for sure. We need to rein in our debt. We're spending huge amounts of money on debt, and we need to stop the debt from growing at the rate at which it's been growing, so that we can start using that money for other more productive things. The more we're spending to service debt, the less productive or the less money we have to spend on things that we really need. The BPL energy thing was obviously has been a huge thing. There's obviously controversial. Do a forum kind of after the original announcement, and in that forum they've laid out their pathway to a reduction in the energy cost from 19 cents a kilowatt hour to, the public would probably be paying something like 12 cents a kilowatt hour. That is hopeful. We wish the government every success in getting that done. We think energy is a huge driver of expenses in this country. If we can get that down, that is going to help us quite a bit. We've seen recently, I don't know if it's actually part of the budget, but the and the movement to improve and upgrade the registry department. The registry department has been a sore point for many of our members, and the recent reforms announced on Friday, we think will certainly be more than welcomed by the business community that has to interact with that agency. Possible financing for SMEs. I was in a very small business no longer than yesterday, and the owner says he needs some capital to expand his business, modernize and upgrade some of his equipment. So hopefully persons like him will be able to take advantage of some of the funding, which is said to be on the way. The land registry, long overdue, very, very long overdue. And so we hope that comes on stream and that can assist with just knowing who owns land in this country and who's entitled to sell land. We would have liked to see specific focus, and maybe it'll come out a bit later, on the educational outcomes in the country. One of the main things our this report is not being able to find a qualified workforce. They get a lot of people applying, and a lot aren't qualified, or some of them they take on, but the work ethic needs to be improved. So we need to find ways to work on that. And so those are some of the things that quick hitting that we've seen from the chamber that we have taken note of in the recent.
I know any you'd mentioned before, for instance, you look anxiously, nervously toward the budget because there could be implications for cost and that kind of thing. Anything came up this year that may have an impact on the expense line, bottom line of businesses in a concerning way?
Well, we're still going through the details. We haven't seen anything too significant at the moment. We know that some customs user fees have been increased, one or two other user fees, but we're still looking at it. But so far, we haven't seen anything that business is going to scream about, unless there's something. As I say, the devil is always in the details. In fact, businesses are still grappling with the implementation of the audit requirement last year. If you recall, we and the Bahamas Institute have stated that, it was a necessary number one, because the government already audited the revenue companies for VAT, the government was simply interested in revenue for VAT purposes. Audit for revenue for VAT purposes is a much more simpler audit than doing a comprehensive audit of a company. The auditors these days work to international financial reporting standards. Those are not the standards that the government uses for their revenue. So the requirement for an audit didn't seem to really connect with government revenue standards. Now, we understand it might be for some other purposes, again, which were unclear, but this is where it comes to spelling things out and letting people know just why we're doing what we're doing. And so companies are still grappling with that. There are still a lot of companies, I've been speaking with accountants, they are working literally day and night to meet this deadline, which is coming up in a few days, to get companies spoken with one accountant who says, listen, I'm preparing letters to send to the DIR because there's absolutely no way I'm going to get this done. And so I think it was important for the business community not to be inundated with more difficulty, since they're, as I said at the moment, still grappling with last year's difficulty.
When we come back from the break, speaking of the budget and concerns and anxiousness, recently there was being circulated and it appeared in the press some visitations by a government task force to businesses. We'd like to get your response to that activity by the government. I am assuming it's a kind of compliance exercise, and if it's a compliance exercise, it's an endeavor to ensure that the government is collecting all of its revenue. And the question is that the approach that will get it done and the one that can be most suitable to doing business in the Bahamas? But when we come back, Mr. Ingram, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shafar Relying, your host, C. Wednesday, with the Government Public Policy Institute, with Mr. Tim Ingram, the president of the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking about this year's, the new 2024-2025 proposed budget. We'll be back after this break. Down the same
road, and I just can't keep living this way. So starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage.
Mash the car. The lady run into me, mash the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The best athletes in the Bahamas will be on display at the B3A's Kids Athletics Invitational Junior and Senior National Championships, June 26 to 28, at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. Stephen Gardner, Devin Charlton, Shawnee Miller-Weibo, and so many more. The juniors are vying for the opportunity to represent the Bahamas at the World Under-20 Championships, and the seniors are gunning to qualify for the Paris Olympic Games, which are fast approaching, and our athletes are looking to get on the road to Paris. The meet gets underway at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, June 26, and Thursday, June 27, and at 5 p.m. on Friday, June 28. Gates open at 3 p.m. daily, and tickets can be purchased for as low as $20 at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. The B3A's Kids Athletics Invitational Junior and Senior National Championships, June 26 to 28 at the original Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. You don't want to miss this one.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we're speaking with the president of the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Tim Ingram. We're talking about the 24-25 proposed government budget. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us on the Family Island from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. There have been lots of comments about what happened in the first instance shown at Caribbean Commonwealth Building Supplies. Mr. Brent Burrows, I believe it is, himself commented on what happened in terms of a task force. I think it's a compliance task force that self at that business and others. and created quite a stir. I believe you're aware, Mr. Ingram, of this.
Yes, I've been made aware of it. We've seen the video, obviously, on social media, and I've heard Mr. Burris's account of it. I've also, in the last day or two since that video surfaced, received calls from other chamber members who say that they have had suffered a similar fate. And so whilst Mr. Burris and CBS were the ones to highlight it, there are a number of other businesses that that have seen the same thing happen to them. And they report it as being quite intimidating. And there are others who are concerned that it may happen to them. And so there is certainly a significant amount of concern in the business community at what we saw on the tape there.
Any communication between the chamber and the government about this?
To this point, no. We will be requesting with the authorities, but obviously something that surfaced yesterday. And so we've not had an opportunity to communicate with the government on it. What we would say is every business should pay to the government every cent that's due to the government. We believe that you should be in full compliance with the tax code and pay all taxes due when they are due. That's the only way, we as a country are going to function optimally. So we certainly don't encourage anyone from not paying taxes. We might argue against certain taxes that the business community may not agree with, but as long as they're a tax, they have to be paid. Having said that, the question becomes, is it necessary to show up in a business with what look like SWAT officers with automatic weapons to do what? To actually look at receipts and these kinds of things. It just seemed very intimidating. Some people suggest that we've gone from a figurative assault on businesses to literal assault on businesses now, with government officials walking in with heavily armed police officers. If they felt there was might have been some issue, I don't know, that machine gun in with them. It's not a good look. If you're from the outside looking in, you want to start a business and you're concerned about this, then
it was to me, as someone who has been on both sides of the divide, both on the business side of life and on the public sector side of life, kind of curious to this extent. And I think you raised a question and you put it quite appropriately. Let's take it a little piece by piece, and you can help me if I am not thinking right. If a business is not in compliance with taxes, persons who know that is the government. You have to pay me the tax. I know you. You are registered with me. You are supposed to pay me $1,000. I see $300. You owe me $700.
Correct.
I am not going to get that money going to you. I can get that money by saying to you, bro, if you don't want to get shut down or suspended, get your license suspended, you better come in tomorrow and pay this money.
Exactly.
So that's the one thing. If you're a customs person, you didn't pay customs. Well, how did I get past customs?
Correct. You must have some agreement in place to pay customs.
Yeah. So an inspection is generally something done on a premises because there is reasonable suspicion that a crime is happening on that premise, and you are going normally with the adequacy of a warrant to go and check out what you believe is a crime being committed. Of course, you as a government entity can do an inspection on anything you want, but the inspection has to still be based on some reasonable cause.
Correct. Yeah, right? That's correct. In the U.S., you get a team of auditors from the IRS who will show up at your door and say, we'd like to audit your books, please.
Which normally follows Well, we've seen some lack of or some unexplainable changes or some deficiency in information that makes us want to see physically this business to see, can this business do the volume it's doing, or is this big business doing this little volume?
There was a suggestion that they visited every store in Southwest Plaza, which then begs the question, is every store in Southwest Plaza non-compliant?
Under suspicion.
Some of those stores there are branches of other stores. And so, you know, what was the purpose of going into the branch of a store, if that's indeed what happened? I do know one particular company, they have a branch on Carmichael Road, and they were visited last week by the authorities, similar visit to CVS. It's a small branch office. It was quite intimidating for them to be in this small branch office, and all of these officers to send in, or a couple of officers to send in, very heavily armed. And, you know, there's any number of things that could go wrong in those situations that didn't need to happen.
Yeah, it's a curious affair, and it has caused some people to wonder whether the government is in such dire straits for revenue that it has had to go and take this hard line to move in the direction of that kind of show of force. And to be clear, Ingram, whether that was the attempt or the intent or not, it has intimidated business people.
It has. And just say whether that was in the intent or not, I've gotten the calls yesterday and today from business people who are intimidated and very concerned that they might see this same scenario play out in their office. And so, they're serious concern. The other question someone asks is, you know, the Prime Minister has indicated that the payment of VAT on land transactions, I think, has been a significant problem for the government. And the question becomes, are these being enforced in the same way as well? So, you know, there are these questions. The other thing we must look at with the entire tax situation is, you made the comment, if these systems are linked and customs knows I brought in $100,000 worth of product, but I'm telling them I sold $50,000 worth of product, and they come in my store and they only see $25,000 worth of product, then, you know, there's a gap. You send your auditors in and you do an audit. There are various provisions in law, in each of those laws, which allow the government to take certain actions without the use of appearance of violent force. And in a country grappling with a bit of a negative gun culture at the moment, I don't know that that's the message we want to be sending.
Yeah, I mean, as we like to say in tax policy, you ought to use appropriate regulatory enforcement to meet the particular circumstance, right? So, for instance, if you have a little mom and pop shop making maybe $50,000 a year, the risk of them being a drain on your revenue in the government is oddly significant. So maybe a visit by a revenue officer to say, you know, we noticed X, Y, and Z. But if you got some massive something that some no leaking, ducking, paying taxes for a long time, and they've been inflexible in responding to any attempt to collect, then that's a different story altogether, right?
Correct. That is a totally different story.
And let me tell you,
there are provisions to deal with it without a show, without walking into a place with guns.
Yeah. No, but let me tell you this, Brother Ingram. I'm going to tell you this. This happened. This is something I know of. For instance, there was a company in this country that had been bringing in chickens into the Bahamas, millions of dollars worth without a permit. Without a permit, and the scene was discovered. No task force with no guns blazing, etc. They were. It was discovered, and I ain't gonna lie. Nobody. Partially, my agitation that may have prompted the query that caused it to be discovered. And I was not in government when this happened.
Okay.
And but I'm saying with regard to coming into compliance and no task force, no guns blazing, and company yeah. do.
Yeah. And most companies will. Most persons face with evidence and the consequences of their action will comply. I mean, you know, you comply with a lot of these things or you go to jail. Is what it boils down to. And the average, I've seen situations where have been whistleblowers on their competitor. They felt their competitor was doing something untoward. And so they maybe called and with a quiet word said, listen, you might want to check that one out. I'm not sure why they're able to sell at 50% of what I'm selling at. And you know, an investigation was done, and whether or not anything was illegal, we found, and you know, it was dealt with. But I don't recall seeing an instance in this country where we would have seen something similar taking place.
I am told by very reliable sources that a similar thing happened in Abaco. Now, the source said they weren't sure whether the police had guns or not. But there's certainly that task force did show up at businesses.
Right. I mean, when the task force was announced, the commander, you know, they had the event at the mall where they encouraged businesses to come in to make themselves compliant. And they said, well, if you didn't come in, then they were going to go door to door. They started doing the door to door on the family islands, and they would introduce that to New Providence. But certainly, And what I read suggested that it was going to be an armed enforcement. You know, you and I both remember the old price control guys who would do a store-to-store inspection. They went into start inspecting. There was
great EJ Boo.
Correct. Yes, there was not usually armed. He didn't usually carry a armed presence with him. Now, I grant you, we were in different times when people maybe not quite as docile as they used to be, but I don't again recall any incidences of tax authorities being threatened, and maybe they have been, and if they have been, then the government needs to highlight that. That would require such as we saw in the recent videos.
This text says, so using Gestapo-style taxes is acceptable. What is Mr. Ingram's take on this overkill? He is speaking very tenuously. Come on, man. Why are you?
I don't think so, sir.
You don't even have to defend yourself. I don't think you're being tenuous at all. Sometimes people want you to say things the way they want you to say. I think you've been quite clear.
Thank you.
And undirect on the matter.
Yeah, as I said, the government has the right to collect taxes, and they have the right to go in and inspect books and everything else to make sure that they're getting what is due to them. But, you know, using heavily armed police and defense force officers, I'm pretty certain that's not the way we'd like to see it. If you're a foreign investor looking at bringing your business into the country and you think this is what it may end up coming to at some point, you might think two or three times about whether or not you're gonna come in and set up.
So this person says Chicago is what happened to CBS Bahamas, similar to what Hubert Ingram did to the alleged PLP friend, the Robin Hood store. Absolutely 100%. Different. And I know because I was there. That what happened with Robin Hood followed months of investigation of determining, as we did, that an entire operation had been set up in Grand Bahama to avoid paying taxes to the government. And following upon sufficient investigation. Action was taken on Robinhood to seize equipment, which subsequently confirmed what had been discovered during the investigation. So it was not the same thing. It was not a random movement of people to business houses with a show of force. Absolutely different.
It was a specific purpose to deal with been detected as criminal activity.
Absolutely, 100%. So absolute nonsense. Nonsense to suggest it's similar. This text is, ask your guest, is there any such thing as junk tax? Junk tax.
I'm not sure what that refers to.
So it's funny how they normally go after the registered businesses and not the ones that never register for VAT, NID, et cetera.
And then this was another comment made they feel that the authorities continue to make it difficult for legitimate businesses to pay taxes. For instance, we saw what happened with the implementation of the online tax system earlier this year. Pointed out a lot of businesses still don't have their tax compliance certificate. And they point out that those persons doing business in the informal economy really don't have to worry about these things. So I see that there is some licensing now for persons in the tourism sector downtown, which is a step in the right direction, I think, to make sure people are paying proper taxes. But, you know, I'll just point out that they set up, they pay their proper taxes, and then they can get persons in the informal economy that don't have those same issues, that don't have to worry about someone coming in to inspect their tax records because they're simply not been reporting.
We are operating in an environment where the economy is growing. I wish I could say unemployment is down, but in truth, it's down. If you look at the reading before the most recent one, it was down relative to everything 15 years prior, gone up to 10.2% and then down to 9.9%. So unemployment is relatively high still.
That's a difficult one because I think earlier that a lot of our members have difficulty finding the skill set they need in the economy. So that's the first issue with it. But some of them haven't found someone they can employ. The work ethic that persons used to have years ago is lacking, and so that needs to be taught. Maybe it was taught in the home in the past, but not so much anymore. And then there is, you look at where a lot of the job availability is. If you went to the Disney construction site on Eleuthera, there was a significant portion of foreign labor there because, as reported even by immigration authorities, Bahamian young men didn't want to leave Nassau to go work on the family island. So, if you have a project going on, you need to find workers. There may be people sitting down in Nassau looking for a job, but I spoke with someone doing some work on the Disney project. He had to move his team to Eleuthera, and he provided room and board, meals, entertainment in the form of internet and cable TV, et cetera. Quite a number of his employees were not interested in moving.
The thing about it is you're right that if you take a qualitative a look at what could be causing unemployment, any number of the things you mentioned could be causing it. But the truth of the matter is that those things are not untrue about the country at any given time, right? There's always mismatches in skill sets. There are always opportunities, some places where people don't want to go. And we know, for instance, Grand Muhammad grew out of large numbers of people from Nassau moving to take advantage of economic opportunities there. But an economy doesn't have the luxury sometimes of just deciding, okay, I'm going to move and give the skill set these people need for these jobs, et cetera, because the economy isn't some person operating with that kind of detail and specificity. The reality is you try to grow an economy to fit multiple kinds of skill sets, right? Because we've had an economy where the unemployment rate was 13.8% in 1991. It went down to 6.7% by 2001. So it grew.
What would you say drove that?
Well, it grew in multiple ways. So you had a field where people with a certain skill set could be taken up. It grew in the hotel sector where people with a certain skill set could be taken up, and so forth and so forth. I don't know that we have the evidence to suggest that people are so different that that's what's causing the unemployment rate to be what it is. Because remember, just a few months ago when it was 8.8%, the government said our policy is working and people are now finding work.
Yeah.
Nobody said, oh, people want government jobs or people aren't qualified. We were told the policy is working. People are now finding work and the unemployment rate fell.
Right. And this is where, again, scientific studies, we'll get to the bottom of some of this when you start actually talking to people and finding out, well, why aren't you working? Did you have an offer for a job? Is it not the job you like? What is your level of education and what kind of job are you looking for? Maybe you're looking for a job that's outside of your skill set and you're not prepared to work until you find that job.
Or maybe for jobs.
That is very possible.
Let me give you an example, right? I opened up a restaurant in Grand Bahama recently, reopened one actually. I have tons of people applying for that job.
How long have you been open now?
Two months.
And how have you found your employees so far? Well,
there's that challenge. But what I'm saying though is if I have six slots and 20 people apply,
right,
that means there's 14 people who will not find a job.
Agreed. No, I speaking with a IT firm recently, they need 8 people and they ran an ad. 80 people apply. Of the 80 people that applied, 2 were actually qualified for the job. One of them took somewhere else, so they ended up hiring the one that would come to them. But then within a couple of weeks, whether or not they didn't like the place or not, they decided they were going to go and take another job somewhere else. And so, and I think we have these sectors. So if you work in the IT sector or the accounting sector, you know, you can skip from job to job at will. So we have to find out where the issues are.
I can tell you what long-term issues are. We train a lot of people for the hotel sector over the years. A lot of people. And then a lot of people ain't trained for no sector.
I agree. There's something which the chamber, along with the government and the unions, have worked on a national apprenticeship program to start
these issues.
So that is one of the things that's supposed to come on stream in a few months that we're hopeful we'll start to address the situation, as you say, of persons without skill set.
Ingram, you got to come back, man. You got to come back. If you could come back tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, I'm just kidding. If you got to come back, let's continue to discuss these things. Sure. There's a lot going on in the country, a lot going on in business, and people need to know what you and your colleagues and thinking, seeing, observing. Especially about some of the things we just last spoke about.
Agreed. Yep. No problem.
I will give you a shout. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You too. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tim Ingram, President of the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce. So glad you could be with us today. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host, on behalf of Mrs. Leslie Archer from Government and Public Policy Institute, myself. God bless you. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. He's back.